This is Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. HCC is the official education partner of the Houston Texans. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome inside Reliance Stadium for this week's edition of Texans Huddle. After the bye week, the team is recharged, and so are we. In fact, we'll visit with the general manager for the Houston Texans, Rick Smith, get his thoughts on the first half of the season, and look forward to the remaining games. We'll also sit down and visit with the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, get his thoughts on the Buffalo Bills, and we'll tell you what Brady James is most passionate about off the field. But first up in this week's Texans Rewind, let's look at the season for the Texans thus far. With expectations at an all-time high for the Texans, the season kicked off with a visit from the Miami Dolphins. In a span of just 2 minutes towards the end of the first half, the Texans turned a tie game into a blowout. The Bulls on parade forced three turnovers, two of which were tipped passes by J.J. Watt that resulted in interceptions.
J.J. Watt with another batted ball.
And with each turnover, the offense capitalized with a touchdown.
Gets across the goal line. Touchdown, Texans.
The Texans started the season 1-0 with a 20-point victory. Week 2 saw the Texans hit the road for the first time of the season against division rival Jacksonville. The combination of Arian Foster and Ben Tate were unstoppable. The two-headed running attack helped the Texans to a franchise record 43 minutes in time of possession, while the defense held the Jags to a mere 117 yards of total offense. Week 2 saw the Texans go 2-0 with another 20-point win. Week 3 had the Texans on the road again and facing their old nemesis, Peyton Manning, in Denver. Matt Schaub went deep several times, taking advantage of the mile-high climate, finding Andre Johnson and Kevin Walter on plays of more than 50 yards apiece.
Rock and roll! Touchdown, Texans! My goodness!
Manning managed to get in a fierce comeback effort to make the score look closer than the game actually was, but the win marked the Texans' first-ever 3-0 start.
The Texans look to go where no Houston NFL team has gone before. Four straight wins to open a season.
Week 4 versus the Titans belonged to the defense, in particular, the defensive backs. It started with Glover Quinn taking out Tennessee starter Jake Locker with a ferocious hit on the sack.
And Quinn has him for a sack inside the 5-yard line. A big blast by Glover.
Then Danielle Manning and Kareem Jackson both returned interceptions for touchdowns.
Hasselbeck, quick throw left side. Picked Jackson. Off Kareem across the 50. The 40 right sideline has room. The 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kareem Jackson.
When the smoke cleared after week 4, the Texans were 4-0 and had their third 20-plus point win of the season. In week 5, the Texans had their 2012 debut in primetime with a Monday night matchup against the New York Jets. Arian Foster racked up 152 yards of rushing on 29 carries.
Arian threw a hole, 10, 15, 20 to the outside, 25, cuts inside, 30, 35, 40, 45 in traffic, and down across the 50-yard line. Arian Foster with a big shot in the arm run.
J.J. Watt put on a defensive show with 6 tackles, including a sack and 3 passes defended.
And he's sacked as he goes back to pass. J.J. Watt brings him down by the feet.
However, the big story from Week 5, besides the 5-0 start for the Texans, was the loss of defensive captain Brian Cushing to a season-ending knee injury. Week 6 had the Packers come into town for another national primetime game in as many weeks for the Texans. In a word, the game was...
throws right side and intercepted.
Ugly. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers torched the Texans' defense for 6 touchdown passes while the Houston offense just couldn't get rolling. The Packers handed the Texans their first loss on the season and in a big way. Week 7 was redemption week for the Texans on several fronts, and they came through in a huge way.
Flacco gets the snap. Here comes the pass rush again. And Antonio Smith has his second in a row.
After getting blown out the week before, the Texans erupted for 29 first-half points.
Back to pass. He throws downfield. Caught! Walter! Touchdown! 25-yard TD pass on a bullet from Matt Schaub to Kevin Walter.
Jonathan Joseph had the defense's third interception for a touchdown of the season and helps set a franchise record for points in a single game.
Flacco, intercepted, back to pass, right side, batted and picked, off of the races, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, Jonathan Joseph with the pick six.
Not only did they send the Ravens home avenging their playoff loss from a year ago, the Texans entered the bye week on a terrific note and the best start in team history. And here's hoping the Texans can keep the train rolling for the second half of the season. All right, we have to take a time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll visit with the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer, and sit down with general manager Rick Smith. Stay with us.
Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network.
And welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. Welcome back from the bye week.
We're back. Ready to rock. Let's go.
Get some golf in.
You know, I played one round, my first since July, and I'm so fired up, and now I got to put the clubs away till after the Super Bowl. So there.
Well, how'd you do, Mr. Slightly Better Than Average Golfer?
Slightly better than average. Just a tiny bit. Actually, it was pretty average. Mediocre would be the right word.
Well, you had some good weather for it. All right, let's talk about what this team did over the bye week.
Well, this team tried to get healthier, Patty, and, you know, Ben Tate has an issue with the hamstring. It just doesn't look so good right now. Let's hope he mends up fast. Of course, Justin Forsett is your backup. We'll see how it all works out for the Texans in the backfield. And I'm not overly concerned about Tate for this week, but I'd love to see him back for the Chicago Bears a week from Sunday. But don't look past those Bills.
No, do not look past the Bills. We'll get to the Bills in just a minute. But let's talk about, you know, while the Texans were on a bye week, much of the rest of the league was not. What happened and how does it affect the Texans?
You know, it's interesting because all of a sudden the league is in love with Peyton Manning again. And why not? He's playing very well, four straight games with 12 touchdowns, one interception, 75% completion rate. Looks like the Peyton of old, as the Broncos are starting to win a little bit, and people are shouting the letters MVP as related to Peyton Manning as a possibility. Well, did they forget about Megawatt? What about Tom Brady and the Patriots winning in London looking better? And the Colts have a winning record, Patty. Amazing, as they defeated the Tennessee Titans. So as the Texans took a week off, some teams in the AFC started to look a little bit stronger, but you know that the boys in Battle Red and Deep Steel Blue can take care of their own business.
Well, let's talk about those Bills, as you mentioned. Of course, Mario Williams, kind of the big topic coming back here. What kind of reception do you think he's going to get?
You know, it's very interesting, Patty. I'm not sure what the crowd is going to do about Mario Williams, because while he was here, he was not exactly the most adored player. I remember on a Thursday nighter in 2007 when he had 3.5 sacks against the Broncos, and the fans in this building cheering, Mario, Mario. They were in love with him that night. Well, 3.5 sacks, how could you not? But over the course of his career, you get the feeling that he was not the most adored Houston Texan. I still have a hard time believing they're actually going to boo him this week, though, Patty.
I don't know. I have a feeling they might.
All right. I'd like to see the best in our fans, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about this Bills offense. Gary Kubiak said today that this is an offense that, you know, really spreads it out, and then they come at you with the running game. How does the Texans defense respond to that?
Well, spreading them out is actually a good thing for this Houston defense. The SWAT team will be added because if they throw a lot of quick passes, that plays into the hands of what J.J. Watt and company like to do. Back down passes, create havoc that way, get turnovers. But it does get the ball out of the backfield in a hurry if he gets those completions. You know, if he's able to get a rhythm that way, it's harder to sack him that way. He's thrown 15 touchdown passes, Fitzpatrick. He's not bad at all. And they've got weapons. Stevie Johnson's a good-looking wide receiver. You look at Spiller out of the backfield. They do have some assets there on offense. But all in all, you have to like what the guys on the defensive side of the ball can do. Bulls on parade in this building, Patty, with all the noise and everything. They got to find a way to jump on them fast and bury them.
Well, and the Bills' defense giving up a lot of yards, that might be something that shouldn't be, in theory, on paper, too difficult to do for this offense.
Yeah, and the most points surrendered in the National Football League for the Buffalo Bills, over 32 points per game given up. They've had some games that they woulda, coulda, shoulda, like everybody else in the league. You look at the game with Tennessee, where Tennessee converts a fourth down late to win that football game. They had a lead on the Patriots, 21-7 in the third quarter. They've made so many mistakes. They keep shooting themselves in the foot. -6 in turnover margin. Got to find a way. Like we said, start fast. That's been a mantra for this Texans team. Start fast, get the early lead, and then go ahead and let your defense do the work and the running game as well.
And don't overlook them.
Don't look past those Bills, friends. Seriously, they, you know, any team can beat any team. We know that. But the Bills are certainly capable, it's no cliche, of beating any team in the National Football League.
All right, great stuff. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Patty.
When Texans Huddle continues, general manager Rick Smith stops by, as well as a visit with Brady James. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network. By the Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute, bringing elite care to all athletes. And by the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans scratch-off from the Texas Lottery today. Maybe it's your lucky day.
And welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, General Manager Rick Smith. First of all, thanks for being here with us.
You're very welcome.
At our nice little table on the third floor at Reliant. Pretty awesome little location. We've been kind of, the show's been centered around sort of the midpoint of the season, almost technically there, but with the bye week, for lack of a better time. So I just want to get your assessment. I mean, obviously, the record speaks for itself, but just your thoughts on your team thus far.
Well, you know, obviously we like what we see, and I think our team has basically started where we left off last year. I think it's a mature group. I think it's a group that's grown up together. I think you see, you know, that they're competitive, that they play hard. And if we can continue to play the way that we played early, and I think, you know, in this league, it's not about what you do early. It's what you do as the season is ending and as you work your way into the postseason. And so the thing I like about this football team, Patty, is the fact that they seem to understand the correlation between what they do on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday during the work week and how that translates into success on Sunday. And if we can continue to have that mindset, I think we'll be okay.
Does that concern you at all? You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You want your team to play well, but how well they have played early, that maybe they won't be peaking at the right time?
No, I don't think so at all, because I don't think that we're peaking. I think that we've got a lot of improvement that we need to do. I think, you know, you've got to, if you want to put yourself in a position later on, you've got to play well. I think we're a good football team, and I think we play that way. You know, obviously, you know, we didn't play that way against Green Bay, and that was the thing that I said after that game is we didn't play our brand of football. We didn't play smart. We didn't do the things that we've done consistently over the course of the season so far, and that's why we, you know, that's why the outcome of the game was what it was. If we can play our brand of football, then I do think that we're capable of playing with anybody on any day.
You know, from your standpoint, you know, we all know what the fans thought, what his teammates thought, but when a guy like Brian Cushing goes down, what goes through your head?
Well, I mean, obviously the first thing is disappointment for the young man, because I know everything that he's put into his career, into his body of work, and how important it is to him. And so that's the first thing that you think about. And then, you know, you want to do everything that you can do to make sure that his rehab process is in place so that he can be back. And then after that, it becomes a function of the job. How do you replace him? What do you do, you know, to augment that on your football team? And a guy like Brian can't be replaced by one player. It's going to be a collective effort. Everybody's going to have to raise their level of play up, and we've seen that over the last couple of weeks, and we get that. And I've been pleased with what, you know, what we've done so far.
Let's talk a little bit about J.J. Watt. Just an incredible season. Just seems to keep getting better. And I don't know, and I meant to ask you this before we went on, but I seem to remember when you guys brought him in, and I don't know if it was to you or to Coach Kubiak, but J.J.'s dad came up, shook either your hand or Kube's hand, and said, you know, thank you so much for taking my son. You're not going to regret this.
Well, that's a true story. And essentially what happened was, you know, we bring the first rounder in. And so we flew J.J. and his parents in, and, you know, we have them come into the draft room. And so we, you know, they came in the draft room, and everybody stands up and gives them a round of applause. And I think he was overcome with emotion at that point. He made that statement to everybody, you know. And so it was a pretty touching moment. And J.J. is just he's an incredible worker. He sets the tone and the tempo for so much of what we do on defense. And you know, we've got guys that are competing with him. You know, to get a sack. I mean, he's setting the tempo like that. And so that's good to see. I think he's got a tremendous skill set. You know, so he's got the size, the speed, the skill ratio, all that stuff is good. And then when you combine that with the kind of work ethic that he has, along with some real natural football instincts, some things that he, you know, he can do on the field, you can't teach him. But I will say this, and as it relates to some of those batted balls, you can't teach some of the things that he can do, but you can sure raise other people's awareness about it. And so now you got all kinds of guys trying to knock balls down and make plays, and that's what he does.
When you talk about a guy like JJ or even Kush, as a GM, how attached to these guys, you know, your guys, do you get?
You get attached to them. I mean, obviously you do because you're rooting for them. At least I am. You know, when you give guys, you know, their opportunity to play in the National Football League, it's obviously a significant thing. Most of them have wanted to do this their entire lives and have worked, you know, for years to get to this point. And so it's always nice when you can, you know, you can provide that opportunity for a player. And so you do get attached. It is a business, you know, part of it. And so you've got to make sure that you maintain your ability to put the club first. And that's what I will always do. I'll always make decisions that give us the best chance to win long term. But you can't help but love these guys and root for them.
You said this team has some improvements to make. As you look towards the second half, what are you hoping to see in the second half?
Well, just I would like to see us continue to play the way that we're capable of playing. And you're going to win football games in different ways in this league. So it, one week you may run for 200 yards, and another week you may throw for 400. And we've got to continue to play well on defense and make sure that people you know, can't run the ball on us, and that we can always keep people behind the eight ball on second down and third down, and so we can get after them. We've got some guys that can rush the passer, and you know, we've got some guys in the secondary, Patty, as you know, that can make plays on the ball. And so that's a stat that I pay a lot of attention to, that turnover ratio and making sure that we protect the football and that we're being aggressive in terms of trying to go and get after the football and get it back to our offense. And so if we can just keep playing our brand of football, play smart, you know, play aggressively, you know, I like our chances, as I've said.
All right. Well, great stuff. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you.
Texans tickets for the season are completely sold out, and the 2013 Houston Texans season ticket priority waitlist is filling up fast. Make sure you're part of the action and join the priority waitlist at HoustonTexans.com today. Make sure to log on to HoustonTexans.com to vote for the Texans September Whataburger Player of the Month. Jesse Nading is nominated by Tim Dobbins. Earl Mitchell was placed on the ballot by Antonio Smith. And Dwayne Brown was honored by Matt Schaub. Just get online at HoustonTexans.com, make your choice. The winner and the player who nominated him will make an appearance at a Houston area Whataburger next month. Well, the NFL certainly does its part in the month of October to help bring awareness to breast cancer. Of course, you see the hints of pink each and every weekend. And for linebacker Brady James, it's more than just a reminder. It's personal.
Brady James Foundation, Foundation 56, is something I started in honor of my mom. I lost my mom to breast cancer when I was in college. And I always wanted to do something to create awareness, make an impact in other people's lives. And so I didn't know anything about breast cancer while I was in college, but I was in the best place to learn. I was in school. I used to go to the libraries after class and find out as much as I could. But it was tough for me to talk about it. And when I started talking about it, I was in the league. And I realized that other people had gone through what I have already met. And so I wanted to help the families. I wanted to challenge the men to support our women. And do as much as we could for them. You know, in the continuum process, there's so many steps in that continuum. So we wanted to focus on survivorship. So many women are very internal. So they don't want to let everybody know that they have breast cancer. And so once we started figuring that out, we started initiating programs for them so they can get out and talk about it. Get around other people, because that's kind of what happened with my mom. She didn't let us know. I didn't know anything about it. And it was too late. And so we want to make sure everybody knows about and is very aware of what the what breast cancer brings and how everybody can assist in the family. We have a mobile unit in Dallas, and we have a mobile unit in Baton Rouge. Due to the economic times, start seeing that a lot of women did not have the resources to go and get mammograms. And that was something that I couldn't live with. I wanted people to be able to have that resource, and those underserved communities needed to know, because the men needed our women. We need our women. And I wanted to make sure that everybody could have a chance to at least get a mammogram. And then from that, we build from once they, if they were diagnosed, whether they needed a mammogram or biopsies, what to do next, because it's such a shock once you find out you have it, a lot of people don't know what to do next. And so we start concentrating on survivorship programs and helping them not only get through radiation and chemo, but to be able to cope with the fact that they have something involved with their body. I think once you understand what God's purpose is for your life, you can be passionate about some things and it becomes contagious. And not too many people can say that they have helped save lives. And it's such a humbling feeling to be able to help someone else. And I feel like if these programs would have been around for my mom, maybe she still would be here. So each woman that we help, you know, it's just in honor of her. You know, I don't have breast cancer. All I want to do is just help women be there, be around longer.
Wine and dine with Texans players at the Taste of the Texans, presented by BP on Monday, November 5th. Fans can sample food from 25 of Houston's finest restaurants, with event proceeds benefiting the Houston Food Bank and the Methodist Hospital. Secure your tickets today at HoustonTexans.com. Well, even with the bye week, the Houston Texans were out in the community doing their part, as they do each and every week. Our cameras caught up with linebacker Brooks Reed at Burnett Elementary, where he was assisting with the Texans' Gatorade Junior training camp. The event is all part of the NFL Play 60 campaign to promote physical activity for children. A couple hundred students joined Reed on Tuesday, and everyone, including the second-year linebacker, had a great time.
You know, we got some drills going on here, and we got kids running around, and you know, just trying to reinforce that exercise is important, and you know, it's fun out here just throwing the ball around to these kids.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you Monday for Texans Wrap, hopefully wrapping up the big win against the Bills. Have a great week, everyone.